I'm putting my GM hat on and delivering a Buffalo Bills mock offseason today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino, author of Go Bills and Buffalo's Run, also the host of the Draft Dudes podcast, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Wednesday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Well, folks, this is one of my favorite episodes that I do every single year, and I get a chance to be Brandon Bean. I'm calling the shots today. We're doing an entire 2023 Buffalo Bills mock offseason. So we're going to create the cap space. We're going to extend players. We're going to sign new free agents. We're going to do a 7-round mock draft. And at the end of it, we're going to have a 53-man roster projection all today on the podcast. So buckle up. This will be fun. Now, a few housekeeping notes that I have to deliver before we really dive in is, first of all, this is a mix of some predictive moves, but mostly what I would do, right? This is very much my plan for the offseason. Some of it's predictive, but mostly it's my plan. I also want to acknowledge the advantage that I have. I get to do this right now. I'm not really competing with other teams to sign players, right? I'm in a very unique position of advantage, right? There's a lot of advantages for me in this spot. So when you look at this, and maybe you like it, maybe you don't, let me know in the comments what you think about it, of course. But just know that Brandon Bean's got a little tougher job than I do competing against 31 other teams for these players. The next thing I want to mention is that Greg Thompson of Cover One, he signed off on everything that I did, and not necessarily that he agreed with my plan, although he let me know that he does agree with a lot of it. He signed off on the money component, how I'm creating the cap space, fair value contracts, just that everything does add up so that I'm delivering something to you today that is possible. And so I have received Greg's blessing on this, and he actually contributed quite a bit. We obviously had a conversation reviewing it. He reviewed it on his own as well, and sent me a bunch of notes, and we collaborated on agreeing on all of the contract structures to make it all make sense. So Greg Thompson has signed off on this project. And then lastly, one of the most important things, and probably the most important thing of this exercise, is I want you to have an idea of what is possible, or what is close to possible, for the Buffalo Bills this offseason. Because I know that we're all kind of entering this knowing the Bills are pretty far over the cap, and they're going to have to make moves just to get under the cap and operate before you even start to talk about adding new talent. Well, this outlines something that is possible. So this gives you an idea of what Brandon Bean can do. Not that he will. Maybe he'll do more. I don't know. But this is all possible, and I think that's important for you to be able to see that as we're on the doorstep of the new league year and things getting pretty crazy early next week. The other objective is this is fun, right? This is a fun thing, right? I had a lot of fun putting this together. If anybody put their own version of this out there, I'd want to consume it. And so I hope that you have a lot of fun taking this in. So with that all out of the way, let's do it. Let's start by creating the cap space, which to me is step one. And the Bills starting amount is $17.475 million over the cap. So we got to do some things here to get some cap space, because I want to add some talent to this roster. I want to be able to sign the draft class. I want to be able to function in season. So I have some cap saving moves here that I want to work through first. The first one is we are going to sign Nyheim Hines to a new deal. Nyheim Hines has no guaranteed money left on his deal, and it would make zero sense for him to return to the Bills under the current contract because the Bills have all the leverage. So we're essentially just ripping that contract up and signing him to a new two-year, $7.5 million contract. And what that does is it reduces Nyheim Hines' cap hit for 2023 by $1.29 million. So we get Nyheim Hines back, and we get him for a lower cost, which I think predictively will happen too. There's no way that Nyheim Hines just plays under the deal that he's currently signed to. So that's number one. Number two, we're going to say goodbye to Isaiah McKenzie. Wide receiver, had a nice run with the Bills, did some fun things, but at the end of the day, doesn't provide enough overall value to continue with him on this roster, and letting him go frees up $2.2 million in cap space. The next move is we're going to do a base restructure to Josh Allen's contract, and this is the big move. This frees up $21.5 million. So Josh gets more money now. He gets the same amount of money over time, and the Bills create a ton of cap space with that move. So $21.5 million right there is created. The next move is a roster bonus conversion for Von Miller. That creates $10.8 million in cap space. And then we have a couple of restructures. We're going to restructure Deion Dawkins and free up $6.4 million. We're going to restructure Matt Milano and free up $6.6 million. And the last thing we're going to do is extend Daquan Jones. We're going to sign him to a two-year, $14 million extension with $10 million guaranteed. And so the new deal is essentially 3 years, $21 million. I do have two void years on the end of it, but extending Daquan Jones actually gives us $4.6 million right now, and we get three more seasons of Daquan Jones, which sounds very good to me. I like Daquan Jones as the one technique for this football team. So after we do all of that, which is, again, a new deal for Nyheim Hines, we release Isaiah McKenzie. We do restructures with Josh Allen, Von Miller, Deion Dawkins, and Matt Milano. We extend Daquan Jones, and now we're entering free agency with $35.875 million in available cap space to us to add free agents, sign our draft class, bring back a couple of players, and have what we need to function in season. At the end of this, I'll have $5 million to function in season with a couple of levers that can be pulled to create even more space. So I think all this so far puts the Bills in a very, very healthy position to add to the roster. So with the cap cleared, it is time to sign some free agents, and I'm going to reveal my plan there in just a moment. But first, I need to tell you about FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back. If your first bet doesn't win, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, it's time for the fun part where I add players to the roster. And I'm pretty sure I signed at least one player at every single position. So let's go through them in position by position as opposed to like just the big ticket guys down to the smaller ticket guys, because we got somebody new or an extension at every position. So we'll start with quarterback. As we know, the Buffalo Bills need a backup quarterback. We are signing Kyle Allen, one of Josh Allen's good friends, hangs out with him in the offseason. They live near each other, I'm pretty sure, somewhere in California. Bring him in on a one-year, $2.5 million deal. His year one cap hit will be $2.5 million. And to validate the contract, obviously, Greg signed off on it, but over the cap projects Kyle Allen at $2.5 million per season. So you'll notice that I validated a lot of these projections by looking at SpotRack, looking at over the cap, looking at PFF, companies that produce cap projections to really make sure that I'm doing things that are realistic. So step one, we got a backup quarterback, Kyle Allen, tight with Josh Allen, played his college ball at Houston, played for the Panthers, Commanders, and Bengals. Texans this past year. Texans. I think he can be a baseline backup quarterback for you. So that's QB2. We got that figured out. Let's go to running back. You guys know that I want a downhill physical back that can complement James Cook, that can win in pass protection. And we got him. We got our guy. Running back addition is Jamal Williams from the Detroit Lions. SpotRack says 2 years, $8.4 million. Over the cap says an average annual salary of $4.3 million. I have him at a 2 year, $9 million contract. So that brings him onto the team for two seasons. And I think he's absolutely the perfect back for this offense and what they need. He'll give you the downhill ability. He scored a ton of touchdowns this year. He's very good short yardage back, but he's awesome in pass protection. And that's just as exciting as anything for me. And so I really like that component. He's a big time leader, right? That's something that's always been revered about Jamal Williams. I think he really, really fits the exact type of back I hope the Bills sign. So Jamal Williams comes in as our complement to James Cook. And of course, we have Nyheim Hines on the roster as well. At wide receiver, I'll give you the boring move and then I'll give you the fun move. The boring move is that we're going to bring back Jake Kumerow, 1 year, $1.2 million, which is exactly the contract that he played under this past season. You got to give these guys some special teams players, right? This will wind up being the sixth wide receiver, and you need guys that can play teams. And we know that Jake Kumerow can cover kicks and punts. He can block for kicks and punts and can play a little offense as a blocking receiver and give you some size. So I think he's a really good bottom of your depth chart wide receiver that provides really good value in a number of different ways. Now, he's not a volume receiver. He's not going to catch a ton of passes, but you need players like this, and we'll throw the coaching staff a bone here, and we'll make sure that Matthew Smiley has one of his trusted special teamers. Now, the fun move at wide receiver is adding Robert Woods. You guys know him, former Buffalo Bills second-round pick, went to the Rams, played this past season with the Titans. I think he's a perfect slot receiver for this offense. I think he restores that middle-of-the-field target. He restores more route running and separation skills, not just against man coverage, but understanding how to beat zone, reliable hands, just very much the type of skill set that I think this offense needs to be the best version of itself and also help Gabe Davis, right? A player like this is going to help with the consistency of a Gabe Davis because Gabe can do the things that he does well and the offense can be more complete, right? You have that middle of the field route running short to intermediate player now in Robert Woods that allows Gabe Davis to function a little bit more in the intermediate to deeper areas and utilizing his skill set more to his strengths. So Robert Woods is signed 2 years, $10 million. I don't know if I said that yet, but 2 years, $10 million is the terms of the deal. The year one cap hit there is going to be about $3 million. And one of the deals that I looked at for a comparable was Jarvis Landry. When Jarvis Landry signed with the Saints this offseason, it was like 1 year, $3 million. And so we gassed it up a little bit because I think Robert Woods has been a consistently better player in the NFL to 2 years, $10 million. So two receivers added, Robert Woods, Jake Kumerow. At tight end, I know there's some rumblings, once again, that the Bills are going to run some more 12 personnel, two tight end sets. I'm not sure I'm going to buy into that being true. So we're going to go with a more modest investment here at the tight end position. We're going to sign Chris Manhertz, most recently with the Jacksonville Jaguars, before that with the Panthers, before that with the Bills. Went to Canisius College. Has developed into one of the premier blocking tight ends in the entire NFL. And you're not signing this guy to catch passes for you, but this is the new version of Lee Smith, more athletic for sure. But I think he's an impact blocker. And one of the issues, and we talked about this with John Fina a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, was some of the additional blockers that the Bills would have were receivers, right? And sometimes that's okay, but you really want some guys at tight end that can win in line and win the edge and allow yourself to run some more outside zone and be a little bit more creative with how you run the football. And I think Chris Manhertz accomplishes that objective. I think if you really want that blocking tight end, Chris Manhertz is a great option. So I have him down for a 1 year, $2.5 million contract, and Greg has him with a $2.5 million cap hit in year one. Let's get to the offensive line. I know that you guys are excited about some additions here. So we went with one of our big ticket signings here at guard. We're going to sign Nate Davis, most recently with the Tennessee Titans, former, I think he was a third or fourth round pick, wound up starting pretty much all four seasons. It's been a really good right guard for them. Athletic, powerful. And I think he's played well despite very inconsistent right tackle play next to him. And I think he's been a really good player, and I think he has a chance to continue his development and even take a step. So we're going to sign Nate Davis to be our starting right guard, which allows us to move Ryan Bates back over to left guard to a three-year $22.4 million contract. Three-year $21 million contract, which is right in line with Spot Rack. And then over the cap says he's a $4 million a year player, and I think he's more like 7 to 9. So we'll have a year one cap hit of $3.75 million. And I think we got a really intriguing young player at guard that can run block for sure and has a lot of athleticism and will elevate. I think he'll be a better player than Roger Saffold. I signed another offensive lineman. This is going to be an offensive tackle who's now played some guard as well. It's Andre Dillard, former first-round pick of the Philadelphia Eagles. Had some injuries early, and then Jordan Mitala just blossomed into one of the better left tackles in the game, and he didn't have a path to get on the field there with how outstanding that offensive line's been. Now he's gotten some starts along the way and played fairly well. And so I think there's some upward mobility here, but at a minimum, Andre Dillard can be your swing tackle and challenge both Tommy Doyle and Spencer Brown, but I think he's got versatility to play four spots as a reserve. And you know, you could really find a steal here, given just the talent that exists with Andre Dillard. So I have him down for 1 year, $3 million. Over the cap says his average per year should be $3 million. So that falls in line. And the way that this contract will be structured is I do have to have a void year to make his year one cap hit $1.75 million. So that's the offensive line signings. Nate Davis to be my starting right guard and Andre Dillard to be my competition for Spencer Brown at right tackle, but also competition for Tommy Doyle when it comes to the swing tackle role and, you know, the jumbo tight end, all that type of stuff. So on offense, we signed Kyle Allen, Jamal Williams at running back, two receivers, Robert Woods and Jake Kumerow. Tight end Chris Manhertz and a couple of offensive linemen, Nate Davis and Andre Dillard. So let's get to the defensive side of the football. At defensive tackle, I signed Colin Saunders from the Kansas City Chiefs, just completed his rookie contract. A guy that I think can play, I think he can be the backup to Daquan Jones, but also play a little three technique as well. Squatty build, big, massive dude, but has some surprising athleticism. I mean, this guy can do backflips. He's like 330 pounds. Really kind of came along with the Chiefs as a reserve. And I like him as the fourth defensive tackle for this team. I'm signing him to a two-year, $5 million deal. Over the cap says $2.5 million is his valuation per season. Greg has it for a $1.75 million year one cap hit. On the edge, and if you listen to the defensive free agency preview, you know that I want to sign this player, but it's Justin Houston. And Justin Houston has just been so good for so long, and we just don't talk about it. And everyone's waiting for, like, the wheels to come off here, and it just they never do. Obviously had a great run with the Chiefs and then with the Colts and Ravens, 2 years with the Colts, 2 years with the Ravens. I think he'd be a great player to add to this football team. Not only does he give you some assurance early in the season while you're kind of wondering what Von Miller is going to be like early on, if he's going to be healthy, if he has to start the season on the PUP coming off the ACL tear. But I mean, if this guy's your third defensive end, man, that's exciting to me. That's really exciting to me. Veteran, you know, playoff experience, He's made a ton of plays throughout his career. I think a veteran like this to come into this defensive end rotation makes a lot of sense. So we're signing him to a one-year, $7 million deal, which is a little more than Spotrac. Spotrac says 1 year, 5.3. Over the cap says 6.3. I think it might be closer to seven. So we're going to sign him to a one-year, $7 million deal. And then we're gonna add a void year to reduce the year one cap hit to around $3 million. And then we'll have a void year as well. At linebacker, we're bringing back Tremaine Edmonds. This is the big move. And I don't need to tell you about Tremaine Edmonds. You know all about him. We're bringing him back as the Mike linebacker. What's interesting is the valuations for the contract really surprised me. PFF says 4 years, $42 million. SpotRac says 4 years, $44 million. Over the Cap says $11 million a season. They're all pretty close. I don't think it's going to be that. If it's that, re-signing Tremaine Edmonds is going to be a super easy decision. I think he's going to be more like an $18 million a year linebacker compared to the $11 million a year linebacker that these places are projecting. So we're going to sign him to 5 years, $90 million. Again, I could have sat here and told you we're going to pay him $11 million like all three of these websites say. I just don't think that's realistic. And if it is, then awesome. The Bills are in great shape, but I don't see that happening. So I'm going 5 years, $90 million. That's $18 million a season. His year one cap hit is $7 million. Tremaine Edmonds remains a Bill. Now let's get to the next big one, the safety position. We're not going to bring back Jordan Poyer, but we are going to sign two players, one of them a fairly big ticket guy to replace him. We're going to get younger here and cheaper at the same time. So the big ticket safety that we're going to sign to start opposite of Micah Hyde is Taylor Rapp from the Los Angeles Rams. He just completed his rookie deal. The Rams don't have any cap space. Good chance he hits the market, has really come on as over the last two seasons as a starter for them on that defense. PFF says 3 years, $24 million. Over the cap says average salary of 7.9. I'm signing him to 3 years, $25 million. And Greg has the year one cap hit at 3.25 million. One of my favorite things about Taylor Rapp is he's very athletic and he's got some ball skills and range, but he's been a very good tackler, whether in college or during his time with the Rams. He's been a very secure open field tackler, and that's going to be a nice asset to this defense. And obviously he's 25 years old, young and athletic. I like the idea of him being added to the mix. The other safety that we're going to sign is Jabril Peppers, most recently from the New England Patriots. Before that with the Browns and the Giants, he was actually part of the Odell Beckham trade. That sent Beckham from the Giants to the Browns. The Patriots played a lot of different safeties last year. I mean, they rostered like six, and they all kind of played in weird roles. He played a fair amount of snaps. We're going to sign him as more of our third safety. Could play situationally on defense, but obviously a big-time asset on special teams. But I think there's just – you could get creative with ways to get him on the field. He's really athletic. He's very physical. There's not a lot of limitations in terms of what he can do. So we will find ways to utilize him on defense, but also he'll be a major asset on special teams. So over the cap says $2 million average salary. The Patriots signed him to 1 year, $2 million last offseason. We're going to give him the same deal, 1 year, $2 million. And a year one cap hit of $2 million. So two safeties, Taylor Rapp and Jabril Peppers. We are going to bring back Dane Jackson at corner. Modest 1 year, $1.25 million contract, which mirrors in many ways the Levi Wallace arc where he was a restricted free agent. The Bills wind up signing on him for less than the tender. And then he came back and started and signed for a bigger deal the next year. I think Dane could be on a similar path, although I don't know that he'll get a chance to start unless there's an injury. But I like him as a depth corner that could play some special teams. And with Christian Benford in this plan sticking at corner because I brought in Taylor Rapp and Jabril Peppers to play safety, you have really good depth on the outside. And that allows Dane Jackson to cross-train in the slot and I think present a better slot backup to Taron Johnson than what you currently have in Cerron Neal. And the last move here is we're going to bring back punter Sam Martin. We're not messing around. Over the cap says $1.7 million average per season. I'm going to go 2 years, $6 million, lock him up, and the year one cap hit is $2.25 million. So with that cap space, we signed a bunch of players. I think 14 different players here were added. And so what happens here is I had $35.8 million in cap space. My year one cap hits actually total right at about $39.5 million. And you're probably thinking to yourself, well, that's more. How did you do that? You have to remember with cap space that it's top 51 players. And so the 14 players that are the would be 50. I'm terrible at math, so this is bad for me to do this on the fly, but 51 minus 14 is what? 27? So your player 27 through 51, excuse me, be 37. You can see I'm bad at math. I tried to tell you. I warned you. Bad at math. Be 37. So players 37 to 51 on your roster, those guys come out of the top 51, and these guys go into the top 51. So it's only the net difference. So that puts me in a position of strength because in a moment, I'm going to give you the draft class. It's going to cost about $2 million to sign them, and I'm still going to have $5 million in cap space when it's you count for the top 51 salaries. Hopefully that made sense to you. So that's going to give me $5 million in operating funds. And then still in my back pocket, I can restructure Steph Diggs and free up about $6 million. And I also have Trey White in my back pocket for another $6 million. So I have contingencies in place for in-season moves, or if you need to make a trade and really bring in some salary, like I can do it. So I was able to sign all those players, the draft class that's coming, under all of those terms that I just outlined. And I hope that makes sense to you. So we have a 7-round mock draft with a trade coming up here in just a moment. And also I want to share the final roster with you. Just give me a quick second for a break and I'll be right back. All right. So we've created cap space. We've extended some players. We've re-signed some players. We signed some new players. And now it's time for the NFL draft. And I did my best to enter the draft with no glaring holes. Like, we don't have to draft a rookie that has to be a year one starter. That's always the goal. And Brandon Bean, for the most part, I think has done a pretty good job of that. And so that was one of my objectives in free agency. I feel like I accomplished it. And now we can really kind of be forward thinking with our draft picks, guys that can provide meaningful depth, but also could be developmental starters. So I use the mock draft simulator, the mock draft machine from thedraftnetwork.com, which unfortunately is still in beta testing. I used it for this experiment. So with my first round pick, pick number 28, I wound up trading it. I traded out of the first round because I think the Bills are just going to be in a tough spot with finding good value there at a position of need. You know, the wide receivers, I don't know if there's going to be good value there. I don't think there's ever really going to be good value when it comes to interior offensive line. I just felt like trading back was the right move. So I went from 28 to 39, and I picked up 71 in a trade with the Raiders. So we traded out of 28, and at 39, we selected interior defensive lineman Keanu Benton from Wisconsin, who I think can develop this year and potentially be your replacement for Ed Oliver next year. When I say next year, I mean 2024, right? If Ed Oliver winds up not being the ticket for you at 3-tech and you don't want to sign him to an extension beyond this season, you can let his contract expire and then you have Keanu Benton waiting in the wing to be your starting 3-tech, but also provide depth right now. So it, to me, it's forward thinking. Keanu Benton's a good player from Wisconsin, good size, good athleticism, wrestler, right? All the stuff that you think the Bills would like. So we're moving back a little bit, picking up an extra 3 and finding ourselves a long-term answer at 3-technique or an immediate depth player. At pick 60, which is one of the Bills' original selections, we're going to pick another Wisconsin Badger This time going to the offensive line, interior offensive line. He played center for Wisconsin, and it's Joe Tippmann, who has kind of a Mitch Morse build, right? It's kind of 6'5", big dude that kind of looks like a tackle, but is a really good interior player. No doubt in my mind, he can play guard or center at the next level. So immediately under this plan, he provides competition for Ryan Bates and Nate Davis. But you can also look at this as your Mitch Morse successor whenever that day comes. So you can see the now and later vision of adding Joe Tippmann, who I think is going to be a good player in the NFL. Wisconsin produces offensive linemen as good as anybody. And Tippmann is big, athletic, powerful, experienced. There's just a lot to like there. So we get him at pick 60 in the second round. Now we're back up in the third round, pick 71. This is the other pick that we acquired in the move back with the Raiders. We're going to find ourselves a wide receiver here. One of my favorite receivers in the class, and that's Marvin Mims out of Oklahoma. Mims, 5'11", 185. Do you remember Jahan Dotson from Penn State, first round pick of the Commanders this past year? There's a lot of Jahan Dotson to his game where he's maybe not the biggest receiver, but the route running's there. He's an absolute animal at the catch point. Super competitive, explosive athletic profile. I like him a ton. I'd love for the Bills to add him. I think he's very much the type of player that can play inside and outside. If you can't bring back Gabe Davis after the season, you love having him and Khalil Shakir in the fray to go with Diggs and Woods under this plan. Exactly the type of wide receiver I'd hope the Bills find in the draft. Now, pick 92 in the third round. This is the Bills' original selection. We're going with defensive end Thomas Incoum out of Central Michigan. Guy, 260, long arms, almost 34-inch arms, 6'2", can play on the edge, but also reduce inside and give you some interior rush ability. Ton of production at Central Michigan. Good athlete, good Senior Bowl tape, good combine. I like him as one of the like third, fourth round defensive end prospects that you can come in right now and he's probably going to be an inactive player for you initially, unless he beats out like Boogie Basham or AJ Epenesa. But given the structure of this defensive end room with Shaq Lawson being an expiring contract, with AJ Epenesa in the last year of his deal, with Boogie Basham really not showing us much to this point, I wanted to get another young player here in the mix at defensive end. And I think Thomas Incoum in so many ways embodies what the Bills are looking for, a guy that's played a lot of different positions and has some upward mobility, and he's athletic with long arms, and he's a physical, powerful player. In the fourth round, pick 131, we're going to get a safety here, Brandon Hill out of Pittsburgh. The Bills like to draft defensive backs from Pittsburgh. Hello, DeMar Hamlin and Dane Jackson. Brandon Hill is really an intriguing player. I think has developmental starter written all over him. Was there field safety at Pitt, and it's a little bit harder to make plays when you're the field safety and not the boundary safety. And so he did a good job in that role. He's smart, instinctive, physical, very good tackler, runs well, just didn't have a ton of ball production. But I think that can come. So I think as a mid-round safety that can develop, provide immediate special teams value, that is physical and aggressive and smart, I like that. In the fifth round, pick 140, we're going to get another offensive lineman here, an offensive tackle, Warren McClendon out of Georgia. Played right tackle for Georgia, so another hedge here for Spencer Brown. Guy with 34-inch arms, a little over 300 pounds. Think he's versatile in terms of run blocking and pass blocking, but I can see him fitting into whatever concepts you want to run passing-wise and running-wise. I think he's got the skill set to do it, right? If you want a vertical set, quick set, jump set, he can do that in the passing game. But also, you want to run some gap stuff, you want to run some zone stuff, I think he gives you that ability as well. So really intriguing developmental offensive tackle here in the fifth round. Then lastly, and really this pick came down to numbers in a lot of ways, like what position did I need numbers at to fill out the roster? I want to get a linebacker here. So a pick 206 in the sixth round, linebacker Jeremy Banks out of Tennessee, who was a good starter for them for a couple of seasons. Good size and athleticism, I think, is a guy that can play inside and outside. You felt his impact when Jeremy Banks didn't play in that South Carolina game this past year, and South Carolina lit up Tennessee for like, they scored like 60 something points on him. It's like unheard of. Jeremy Banks wasn't in the lineup, and you could tell. So I like him as a mid-day three developmental linebacker to provide some depth. So there's your draft class. Keanu Benton, Joe Tippmann in the second round, both Badgers, one a defensive tackle, one an interior offensive lineman. Third round pick 71, wide receiver Marvin Mims from Oklahoma. Third round pick 92, Thomas Incoom, edge rusher from Central Michigan. Fourth round pick 131, safety Brandon Hill out of Pitt. Fifth round pick 140, offensive tackle Warren McClendon out of Georgia. Sixth round pick 206, linebacker Jeremy Banks out of Tennessee. So the last thing we have to do is give you what this roster looks like now. I've done all the stuff. We've created cap space. We've signed players, extended players, cut players, drafted players. And so what does this mean for a 53-man roster? So we'll very quickly give that to you. One note is that this is actually a 54-man roster. So one player that I'm going to talk about here has to come off. And I'm comfortable saying that to you right now because inevitably there's going to be an injury, something like that, that will make it easy to figure out who it is. But as of right now, I didn't have much convictions on which guy to cut off of this. So this is the roster through my plan. At quarterback, keeping two of those, Josh Allen, Kyle Allen as the backup. At running back, we're keeping four of those, James Cook, Jamal Williams, free agent signing, Nyheim Hines, and Reggie Gilliam. You could easily just have some dude on the practice squad as well to provide another name. Wide receiver, we're keeping six of those, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, Khalil Shakir, Jake Kumerow, and then free agent signing Robert Woods to be our slot. Marvin Mims, draft pick to provide some immediate depth and long-term appeal as potentially Gabe Davis's replacement. At tight end, we have three of those, Dawson Knox, Quinton Morris, and then free agent signing Chris Manhertz, who's going to provide us some nice value as a blocker. He's also very good at blocking on kick return, so another place that he can help the football team. At offensive line, I have 10 of those, so this is likely where somebody will get cut. Deion Dawkins, my left tackle. Ryan Bates, my left guard. Mitch Morse, my center. Nate Davis, my right guard. Spencer Brown, my right tackle. And then I have Tommy Doyle back. Ike Butker is back. The Bills already re-signed him. Andre Dillard as a free agent signing. Joe Tippmann as a second-round draft pick. And Warren McClendon as a fifth-round draft pick. And I think we have a good mix of veterans and appealing developmental depth here. You know, I think you're gonna have a starter in Joe Tippmann pretty soon. And then Warren McClendon can kind of be that guy that hopefully replaces Andre Dillard on the roster, right, who only signed a one-year deal to be the developmental swing tackle. And again, you have plenty of hedges for Spencer Brown here, whether that's Tommy Doyle, Andre Dillard, Warren McClendon. You've got some stuff here you can do. So that's the offensive line, 10 of those. Defensive end, six of these. This is probably another spot where you say someone's got to come off because you really wouldn't really want to roster more than five. So, you know, somebody here can come off easily. Von Miller, Greg Rousseau, Justin Houston as a free agent signing, AJ Epenesa and Boogie Basham, and then Thomas Incoom as a draft pick. Defensive tackle, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Tim Settle. Then we signed Colin Saunders, and we drafted Keanu Benton, and we let Jordan Phillips walk in this plan. At linebacker, keeping five of those, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, Baylen Spector, and then draft pick Jeremy Banks. The depth here is a bit of a concern for me. Yeah, obviously, Terrell Bernard is a third-round pick year two. You'd like to think that he could provide some value there, but it's certainly concerning. And then Baylen Spector and Jeremy Banks are the two backups. You're probably going to want to have an A.J. Klein on your practice squad or a Joe Giles Harris, something like that. You'll definitely, this will be an area where you'll want to beef up your practice squad at linebacker. And the Bills have typically done pretty well with that. At corner, we have six of those, Trey White, Kyer Elam, Taron Johnson, Christian Benford, Saron Neal, and Dane Jackson. At safety, we have four of those, Micah Hyde, Taylor Rapp, Jabril Peppers, and Brandon Hill. And then our specialists, Reed Ferguson, Tyler Bass, and Sam Martin. So there you have it. That's my plan. That's what I would do if I were Brandon Bean. Would love your feedback on this. Obviously, I put a lot of time into developing this plan. And even if you don't like it, tell me like, hey, Joe, glad you're not the GM. I can handle it. Say what you want. But feedback for this type of stuff is really, really fun. And then, of course, we'll get the actual results starting next week when the Bills and the rest of the NFL starts the new league year and player movement is going to be all over the place. So we're obviously have a lot to talk about next week, but we're going to have some herd mentality the rest of this week. We might do 2 days of it. Got a bunch of questions. I think, you know, there's a lot on people's minds here entering free agency. So I wanted to spend the first half of this week with my offensive preview for free agency, defensive preview, my mock off season. And then, you know, I'll probably dig into your questions the rest of the week. And then it gets really crazy starting next week. So don't miss anything. Make sure that you're subscribed. Would love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Go Bills. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.